Well, greetings in the precious name of the God and Father, Son, that we heard about this morning already. What a tremendous God we serve. He's also a very holy God, and I have struggled with what to share this morning. I have sought the Lord for a different message, but he didn't give anything, so we'll switch gears quite a bit this morning. I want to talk a little bit about our little member that we carry with us that has caused a lot of grief in this world, that has caused a lot of pain and sorrows, and yet it's also the member that has brought a lot of encouragement, has brought a lot of blessings to people. So I want to talk about the sin of gossip a little bit in short here this morning. And it's not because we have felt when we come here that it's a problem here, that we have seen it. It's been a tremendous conviction in my own life. And the short life I lived, I've come to realize that in a group like this, there's normally at least one person that struggles with the same things I do. And so chances are there's somebody here that has struggled with this in the past at least. So what is gossip? I was a little surprised. I couldn't find the word in the King James Version Bible. I thought it was there, and I've looked, and I can't find it. But most other translations use the word, but King James has more the word slander, evil speaking, and things like that, that it uses to describe this problem. But we'll turn to James chapter 3. I invite you to turn there with me. And we'll read the first 12 verses in James chapter 3. And you know, the problem with our words is that once they're out, they're gone. You cannot retrieve them. They're out. And we can go and apologize and all of that, but the words are spoken, and many times the hurt has been done. James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Has some very, very strong words to say about our tongue. It's a world of iniquity. And the verse that I want to point out is verse 9. It says, therewith bless we God, even the Father. And we did that this morning. And yet at the same time, he says, we go and we curse men with the same tongue. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the likeness of God. And he says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. We should not do that as God's people. It's not God's will for us to do that. Also turn to Proverbs chapter 6 a little bit, just for a few verses there. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. It doesn't directly use the word gossip there, or evil speaking, but it talks about a lying tongue. And I've noticed in my own heart, in my own life, and also in other people, many times when gossip happens, there's also untruth spoken. We tend to exaggerate stories just to make it really interesting, and thereby the truth is many times not spoken when we speak evil of other people. It says that God hates these things. They are an abomination to him. God also says of the wicked in Psalms 50, verse 20, thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. How often do we speak negative things about our brothers or sisters? You know, and as I was contemplating that, I had to think of, as children of God, we're the apple of his eye. And when I go and I speak evil of my brother, I speak negative things about my brother, don't you think I'm hurting God's heart because I'm speaking against his precious jewel? And yet, it seems that we are people, we just really enjoy spreading news. We like to tell stories that you have not heard before. And in order for us to do that, so many times it seems like we have to come up with these evil reports. Why can't we just use that time and rather talk encouraging words, speak about our brothers and sisters as to how they've been a blessing to us? And again, many of you have, and I appreciate that when that happens. But how often have I hurt my brother or sister by my words? You know, it's like I said before, once the words are out, they're gone. And words are very powerful. The scripture says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so we can so easily make a quick comment and not realize how deep it can hurt. And so may God help us in being careful how we speak. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 say, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. To speak evil of no man. I take from that we should never try to paint a picture of somebody else to someone that would be a negative picture, to make that person look worse than the situation really is. You know, there is times when maybe you need to give information. Somebody needs information and you have to talk about someone. And it might not always be positive things. There's times where we have to share information. But what is the spirit behind the words that we say? What level of information are we giving? How much of the details would really be needed? How much of the evil do we enjoy spreading, but when there's good things, we just quickly brush over that? 1 Corinthians 6:10 says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, which is evil speakers, those that gossip, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Says people that do these things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I was, like I said in the beginning, I have been so convicted, and yet to realize that when the Bible talks about murder, it talks about some of these sins. We tend to categorize these sins, and those we hold very severe things. And yet God clearly says he hates these things. It's an abomination to him. And I wonder if we are sometimes not hard enough on ourselves when it comes to some of these things that we just quickly look over them. I had to wonder, and I preached this message at home some weeks ago, and I just challenged our congregation at home, what would happen if we would all commit to 1 week of spreading no negative information about any other person unless they're standing there with us? What would the difference be? And some of these thoughts were brought to my attention through my boss at work. He called me in a meeting one day, and somehow we ended up on this subject. And he just mentioned that he had realized lately how much of his conversations were circled around other people. Not necessarily negative things even, but how much of his time was spent talking about other people and how they were doing and what they were up to. And it just really, really spoke to my heart. I could go into 1 Timothy 3, where it talks about in verse 11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers. That word slanderers, I encourage you to study that out sometime, where that root word comes from. It's a pretty severe root word. I won't go into details there for sake of time. But it's, again, God takes these things very, very seriously. I had to wonder how many lives have been ruined by falsely accusing someone. You know, how often have I spread a story? I thought I saw something or I thought I heard something, and I go and spread the story only to find out that I did not see what I thought I saw, or I did not hear what I thought I had heard. And again, the words are out. I cannot retrieve them. They're out like the feathers in the wind. You can try and gather them up and put them back in that pillow, and you cannot. They're gone. We truly enjoy spreading some of these news too much, I believe. I have a short story here. In ancient Greece, 469 to 399 BC, Socrates was widely lauded as for his wisdom. One day, the great philosopher came upon an acquaintance who ran to him excitedly and said, "Socrates, do you know what I just heard about one of your students?" "Wait a moment," Socrates replied. "Before you tell me, I'd like you to pass a little test. It's called the test of three." "Test of three? That's correct," Socrates continued. "Before you talk to me about my student, let's take a moment to test what you are going to say. The first test is truth. Have you made absolutely sure that what you are about to tell me is true?" "No," the man replied. "Actually, I just heard about it." "All right," said Socrates, "so you don't really know if it's true or not. Now let's try the second test, the test of goodness. Is what you are about to tell me about my student something good?" "No, on the contrary." "So," Socrates continued, "you want to tell me something bad about him even though you're not certain it's true?" The man shrugged, a little embarrassed. Socrates continued, "You may still pass though, because there's a third test, the filter of usefulness. Is what you want to tell me about my student going to be useful to me?" "No, not really." "Well," concluded Socrates, "if what you want to tell me is neither true, nor good, nor even useful, why tell it to me at all?" I have to think, that is true wisdom there. How many times should I, maybe somebody talks to me about something, and maybe I should just pass the test, get them to pass the test before they share information. But as much as we enjoy spreading stories, we also like to listen to them. And it's part of God's design. It's not a bad thing that we enjoy telling stories and listening to stories, but it's a challenge. It's a challenge for us to know what are good stories and what is true and what should be spread and what is information we should keep for ourselves. Just in closing here, a short poem. It says, "My name is Gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and ruin marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, heartache, and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. And this next sentence really caught my attention. It says, I make innocent people cry in their pillows. Even my name hisses. I am called gossip. I make innocent people cry in their pillows. How many times have I been guilty of that? How many times has my brother or sister cried in their pillow at night because of something I said that I should not have said? So, yeah, it's just a challenge for me, continues to be a challenge for me, and just continue to look to the Lord for grace to overcome some of those things that so easily beset us. And yet, like we heard this morning, He's from beginning, He's almighty. He can give us the strength. He can give us the grace that we need to go on. I don't want this to be a message of condemnation, but more of an encouragement to just check our hearts. Where are we at? And to allow God to continue to shape our lives more into His own image. So God bless you. Thank you for allowing me this time.